Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And I was just thinking, I don't know which is more comfortable, like me getting up here to preach or Aaron singing solos, because it's both happened more and more. So, of course, that one was just three words, but he still did a solo. So, Revelation chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Revelation chapter 3 in the Bible. Verse 14, very familiar passage, but I think the Lord has something for us tonight from this this part of the Bible. If you'd stand with me as we read the Word of God together in honor of God's Word. The Bible says, Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that decided to come out to church this evening. I thank you for a midweek service where we can come and have brothers and sisters in Christ encourage one another. We can sing praises to your name. We can hear the special music minister to our hearts, and most importantly, we can gather around your word and try to become better Christians. And God, I pray that you would use this message tonight, speak to every heart here, give me clarity of thought, help me to present it clearly. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you consider names and you think about names, there are certain names that are good names and bad names. There are certain names that are common names, certain names that are creative names. A lot of baby names have gotten creative over the last few years that are a little bit unique. But there are certain names that are so bad that you don't name things after them, that you would never name something after a few of these names. In America, we don't find many men or boys named Adolf. You don't see a lot of Adolfs sitting around. You don't see a lot of named Benedict, because of Benedict Arnold. In England, they do that, but we don't do that in America. We don't name boys Benedict. We don't name them Adolf, that type of thing. So there is something to names that are so bad, we don't want to name anybody after them. Biblically speaking, there are names that we don't use. We don't name boys Judas. You wouldn't, I mean, that would be a terrible thing if your name was Judas. And I think you all know, for girls, you don't name them Jezebel. I mean, well, that's usually not their given name. Some behind there might speak about them, just not speak to them personally and call them that. So there are names in the Bible that we don't give. There are names in our nation that we typically don't give people. And there are names that you don't see churches named after. There's a lot of Bible Baptist churches. There's a lot of Grace Baptist churches. There's Cornerstones and Lighthouses and many different names for churches. But there's one, I didn't research it too much, but I'm pretty confident in saying I don't know a Laodicean Baptist church anywhere. That's one that you don't see a lot. You don't see that on the church sign. It would not present very well. We are the Laodicean Baptist Church. That's one that it's in the same category. It's in the same place as a Benedict or a Judas or a Jezebel. You just don't, it's a negative thing when you think of Laodicean, when you think of the Laodicean church. Well, why is it Laodicea has such a bad name? Why is it that Laodicea, we think of bad things? I mean, the first thing is kind of obvious. Jesus said he wanted to spew them out of his mouth. I mean, that seems like a terrible thing in and of itself. But from the Laodicean church, we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot, and God gives us warnings how we as personal Christians don't turn into Laodicean Christians. God instructs us and helps us to see that we don't have to become Laodicean age Christians. As all of us I'm pretty sure most of us are aware there's seven churches that are addressed in this book of Revelation, and these seven churches can be kind of grouped into seven periods of time. And there's no doubt in the United States of America today that this is a Laodicean age. This is an age of lukewarm churches. If you just watch any of the church channels, with the exception, of course, of ours, if you watch any of the programming on, it's a very Laodicean age. It's a very time of lukewarm. They're not cold. They have God, so to say. They talk about God. They use the name of Jesus, but they don't have the fire of God. They're using strange fire, and they're lukewarm. They're not what God wants them to be. We are in the time of Laodicea, but I want to praise the Lord. We are not in a Laodicean church. We are not in a church that is trying to bring the culture in and trying to adjust our message and trying to tiptoe around the gospel. We will clearly and plainly speak to you and tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. We will clearly say at our church that you cannot be saved if you do not repent and accept his free gift of salvation. And there is no other way, because that's what the Bible says. That's why we believe that. And we are not a Laodicean church, a Lighthouse Baptist church. We have not been for 32 years, and Lord willing, we won't be for the next 32 years. But as members of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we can still have some tendencies of Laodiceans. We can still let that lukewarmness come in our heart. We can let that Laodicean thought into our hearts. We see the signs of the Laodiceans in verse 15. It starts there. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And God, and Jesus gets in a very, I mean, there's nothing more I reject you than to spew you out of my mouth. And we think about things that we put in our mouths and I just can't keep it in there. And, I got to get rid of it, that type of thing. That's how disgusted, that's how much Jesus Christ wanted to get rid of them. And you might think to yourself, and this might be a little confusing, they say to say to yourself, wouldn't lukewarm be better than cold? Wouldn't it be better to be somewhat knowledgeable about God? Wouldn't it be better to be somewhat, have some point of God, than to be completely cold to God, to have no knowledge of God? Well, God ultimately, and he wants all of us to be hot, red hot, on fire for him. That's his desire. So he's not happy with cold. But think of it this way. If someone who is cold to God, someone who has no experience in church whatsoever, someone who is cold, completely frozen, let's say, ice cold to God, comes into our Sunday service. Someone who doesn't know anything about God comes into our Sunday service. Maybe they're, you know, dressed a little different than we would dress for a Sunday service. Maybe they have signs and imprinting on their body that shows that they've been in the world and that the devil has a hold on them, and he's allowed them to mar their body and scar up their body. Maybe they have different things hanging all over them, and they're cold. When they come to a Sunday service at Lighthouse Baptist Church, it is going to be completely different than the usual that they're used to. It is going to be completely different to what they've experienced in their life. They're going to find a place that shows true love. They're going to find a place that's excited about the things of God. They're going to find a place that someone will tell them exactly what they need to hear, not just to tickle their ears. And it will be different. Whereas a lukewarm person comes into our service, and you know what? They're familiar with that. They know, they've heard those kind of songs before, and that old style, I'm not, that's not my taste. I don't have a taste for that. And they, I've seen people get up there and spit and sweat and get excited about the message, and they go crazy. I've seen that before, and that doesn't move me. Whereas the cold person, they've never seen anything like that. They've never experienced a service like that. They've never heard singing like our choir sings, or the way the heart moves when a specialist sings. The cold person has no experience. So cold is better than lukewarm, because there's a greater chance cold will change. there's a greater chance that somebody who is cold, that has no church experience, that may look a little different than us, it would be better than a lukewarm person who has a suit on, who can carry their Bible, but in their heart, they're far from caring about the things of God. A cold is better than lukewarm. There's a greater chance of change. A lukewarm person sees they have no need for change. In their mind, they don't have a need for change. Why? How do they see themselves? Verse 17, we see how they see themselves. A lukewarm person sees themselves this way. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Hey, I'm good. If you come to a church service with the thought, with the idea, if you walk in the doors and you walk with your family, you've got your kids that are well behaved, and the thoughts in your head, hey, we're pretty good. We've arrived. We've made it. You better be warned, you're getting close to lukewarm. You're getting close to a Laodicean part. To come into a service and to sit in the service thinking, I have no need to hear what this preacher's saying. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't tell the pastor about that. You shake his hand, hey, pastor, that was a good service. I really didn't need it, but that was a good message today. You wouldn't do that, but in your heart, in your mind, when you come into the service and you sit down not expecting to hear from God, not desiring to hear from God, thinking you're okay, you're getting close to Laodicean. You're getting close to lukewarm. You know, because you're saved, and that's the most important thing, which it is the most important thing. And my family's saved. I'm saved, my wife's saved, my kids are saved. We're fine. And we're doing our duty. We're checking off, we're checking our time card of attending church, you know. We're filling in our time, we're making it to our service. I even tithe. So how could I be lukewarm? How could I be lukewarm? Because if you notice in those statements I was making, I'm saved, my family's saved, I do this, I do that, it's a lukewarm person, a Laodicean person is a selfish person. They don't consider the fact that there's a million people in Indianapolis and the vast majority are not saved. They don't consider the fact that there are nations all around this country, all around this world. There are places all around Indiana. There are lost people everywhere. And they don't care about them. They don't care about that. They're just selfish. Verse 17, we see how they truly are. The end of verse 17, Jesus explains how they truly are. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, when it comes to this world, you might have money in the bank, you might have a nice car, you might have a house, your kids may be good behaved, well behaved. You might have a financially stable job, but when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the most valuable things, Laodicean people are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And they don't even know it. They don't realize it. When it comes to things of eternal value, when it comes to accomplishing your mission for God, you're not doing it. You're wretched and poor and blind. That's who Laodiceans are. The last thing is about the identification of a Laodicean. Verse 18. The last part of verse 18, it says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The third thing you have to understand about a Laodicean person, and the third warning that God gives us in his word, is that you have to have spiritual vision. You have to have a vision into the spiritual realm. And Pastor preached on it in his series on Elisha. It's not in this dimension. It's not physically that you can see with the naked eye. It's a understanding of the spiritual world. To have spiritual vision. Do you understand? In Laodicea, they had a school of medicine. They had a school there that they had this special eye salve that you would put on your eyes. It was kind of like a black paste. And they would put on their eyes. It was an ointment to clear up defects and problems with their eyes. So they understood this vision. They understood that. They understood how to fix the physical vision, but they themselves in Laodicea did not have a spiritual vision. They didn't have spiritual vision as God wants us to see it. And the only way you're going to get spiritual vision is to ask God for it, is to be on your knees in prayer, is to be in His Word. People without spiritual vision don't see the fact that everyone is a sinner. They don't concern themselves. I just talked about this, but they don't concern themselves with the whole world. They don't think about the fact that everyone needs Jesus Christ. They don't go into the stores. They don't go into the restaurants. They don't go into their neighborhood and take into consideration that everyone is a living soul. Every person has an eternal destiny. Everyone there has a place that they are going to be forever. And if you don't have spiritual vision and consider that everyone has a soul, you're getting closer to Laodicea in person. You're getting closer to being one of those people. You have to have spiritual vision. You have to see people as lost sinners that need Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room needed to accept Jesus Christ at one time. And everyone in your neighborhoods, everyone in the Walmart, everyone in the McDonald's, everyone everywhere needs to accept Jesus Christ or they're going to die and go to hell. You have to have spiritual vision that way. Laodiceans, without spiritual vision, don't see the people of the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. We are a church family. God is our, we all have the same Heavenly Father. We all have the Jesus Christ, the same Savior. We all have the same mission. And we need to consider one another brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes you fight with your brothers and sisters. And sometimes you don't always get along. That's why you sit on this side instead of that side. And you don't have to be the best friend with everybody in the church. But listen, you need to consider everyone as a brother and sister. You need to pray for everyone as a brother and sister. You need to encourage and admonish one another as a brother and sister in Christ. If you don't have that desire, if you get in 5 minutes after we start and leave 5 minutes after we're done on the last prayer, you're not treating each other like brothers and sisters. You're not encouraging one another as family members. You need to have the spiritual vision to see each other as brothers and sisters. And we need to see the world as it truly is. We need to see the sinful condition of the world. Not dabbling in the world. Not yearning for the times we used to be in the world. Not missing what we used to have in the world. Because that was sin. And that was slavery. And that was destruction. And without God, we were all going that way. But we need to see the world as it truly is. With spiritual vision. As a disgusting, awful place. The true nature of sin. Every time temptation comes, we need to think about the fact about that sin that it truly is. We need to have the spiritual vision. We need to open our eyes and pay attention and listen and understand that sin that you're about to commit is why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. That sin that you're about to give into will give you no eternal pleasure, will give you no joy, and will hurt your relationship to God Almighty. If you don't have spiritual vision, you're getting closer and closer to being Laodicean. Becoming Laodicean happens when you get comfortable and you stop working, you stop trying to learn, you stop paying attention when God is speaking to you, you get out of your Bible, or you just make it a routine and a habit. You don't pray like you should in a humble heart, truly asking of God, having a relationship, not just trying to have a genie in a bottle. Avoid becoming a Laodicean. Jesus helps us with that too. How do we avoid becoming Laodicean Christians? It's all there in verse 14. Says unto the angel of the churches of Laodicea and write, these things saith the Amen. Amen. That's right. I agree with that. Amen means a declaration of affirmation, something you agree with. And it's something that the fact, hey, You need to have services. He was talking to Laodicea. He said, Laodicean church, you don't need to have rituals. You don't need to have someone stand up and just read some stuff from the Bible. You need to have lively services. You need to have encouraging services. You need to have a service that somebody could say amen in. A service that is exciting and it gets you excited in the heart about the things of God, what somebody's preaching about or what somebody's singing about. The lively service is what Laodicea needed. And may I boldly say that we have that at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We have lively services. We have services that encourage your heart. And if you're paying attention at all and you got a little bit of sleep last night, then you can pay attention and listen and hear and know that this is a lively place. But still, some people, they catch up, or they didn't get enough of that afternoon nap on Sunday night, and they still barely get moved. You need to connect to the services. You need to get connected in right at the beginning. You need to, as Brother Merv used to say, pay attention on purpose. He used to tell us teenagers that. You need to do it on purpose. You need to make yourself. You need to put forth the effort. We have a great opportunity at these services, at the services of Lighthouse Baptist Church, to say amen, the amen, have lively services, because we get to praise God during congregationals. I don't know if you think about it that way, but some of I'm not calling anybody out, but you just stand there and you're not singing and you're not considering the fact, I get to praise Almighty God. I get to gather with my church family, and I get to pour my heart out to God and sing praises for how great a God He is. You get to praise God. It doesn't matter how bad a singer you are. It doesn't matter what the person two rows in front of you think. That doesn't matter. Lord looketh on the heart. Make a joyful noise to Him. You get to praise God, be a part of the lively services. You get to let the special music minister to your heart and to encourage you. And you go out in the world and you're filling up your gas tank, or you're in the grocery store, or you're in some restaurant, and they're just blaring the world's music, and it's just a discouragement. Man, I don't even know if I want to go to this restaurant. Turn that music down. That's terrible. But we get to hear special music at this kind of service that is a blessing to us, that ministers to our soul, and that has a clear message. But some people miss it. Some people don't pay attention. Some people are counting down the minutes. Some people are always staring at their watches. That's Laodicean. That's lukewarm. And then you get to hear the eternal word of God proclaimed. I mean, I could understand it more if our pastor was boring. I could fathom how you would, tough to say amen or tough to pay attention if he was not so vocal and so energetic. You know, he pours his heart into every message that he preaches. You can see it. But is the lively service that we have, is it lively to you? Does it speak to you? I dare say it's not the church's fault if God's not speaking to you. It's just God's word. We're only talking about eternal things. We're only talking about people getting saved forever. And when somebody gives a testimony about a soul getting saved, and hey, okay. No, this is somebody getting saved for all of eternity. They were going to die and go to hell, and now they're going to heaven forever. That's bigger than any sporting event, and that's bigger than, I got sporting in there, Mason, for you. I had to say something about sports. That's bigger than any exciting thing that could take place, is eternal souls getting saved in our lively services. Be involved in it. You don't have to say amen like the 6-7 of us that say amen a lot do. You can just say it to yourselves, or just give it a good nod, or maybe become one of those people that say amen all the time. But hey, get plugged into the lively services we have here. That's what Jesus was saying. And then he said this, these things saith the amen, the faithful and true witness. Earlier I talked about the fact that Laodiceans are selfish. And Laodiceans, I don't want to give somebody a tract that could be embarrassing and they could mock me, they could make fun of me. If I were to do that at the McDonald's, or if I were to, that lady's checking me out at the Walmart, and man, that's just too embarrassing. No, I can't do that. That's selfish. person has an eternal soul. And to be to prevent being a Laodicean, you can't be selfish. You got to be a witness. You have to witness the fact that I'm saved, and sir, ma'am, you need to get saved too. And you give them that track. You invite, you pray for, and the Lord allows you to share the gospel right there with them, because we're supposed to be faithful and true witnesses. You know, we've got one of the biggest days, probably the biggest day of the year where people are going to be in church. The biggest day of the year where people are going to be in church. And right now is the time where they're considering. Right now is the time where they're thinking about it. Right now is the time where the person at the gas station, where the, hey, what are we going to do for Easter? What are we going to, you know, we go to grandma's church, but that's boring. What are we going to do? I mean, we've been to that community church, and I feel like I'm at a rock concert, but the music's not as good. And they just got this thoughts that, what are we going to do for church? And if we don't invite them, chances are they'll probably go to some Laodicean church. They'll go to some lukewarm church. They'll go to some place where they might hear a snippet of the gospel, sort of, in between the praise team and the rock band. But we need to, with all our heart, know they need to be in our church. Yeah. Easter Sunday, the lost souls in the city of Indianapolis need to be at Lighthouse Baptist Church, because they will have a clear presentation of the gospel. To be a true witness is not the only thing we're supposed to do. He also says a faithful. That means continue to do it. Constantly be doing. Well, I went soul winner a few times. Okay. Well, there's still lost people. Let's come on back. Well, I did this for a while and things came up. Well, things came up. Okay. Well, let's put those aside. Let's get back to where we should be and be faithful. Faithful and true witnesses all our life. You know, the homegoing of one of our faithful and true witnesses. It was such an encouragement and such a blessing. Faithful to the end. I said, hey, the last time I saw him and spoke to him, I prayed with him a few months ago, and I said, hey, why don't you just take the summer off, or take the winter off, you can come back in the spring and you start door knocking again, start witnessing. And he was encouraged by that, and he was ready, yeah, let's do that. And Brother Ron was ready to go. He was a faithful and true witness his whole life. God wants us to be faithful and true. And then it says, these things are saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We should not, beginning of the creation of God, we cannot give up, and we cannot compromise on the fact that God created. God created. That's something that we want to water down. That's something that we want to say, well, I don't know, it was six literal days. Those could have been periods. Those could have been time periods. And it's spread across because we're trying to compromise and we're trying to get along with those who believe in evolution. And we're trying to come together. And I can't do that because that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God has preserved in His Word. God said He created. Not just some evolutionary goo came together, and from that came single-cell organisms and billions of years and all that type of thing. I cannot be that. A Laodicean can do that. A Laodicean can say, yes, I'll accept some of yours, but you got to accept some of mine. No, I don't have to do that because I've got the Bible, and I'm standing on that, and I can say, Jesus Christ, God created the world in six literal days. I'm not compromising that. I'm not compromising what the Bible says. I'm not compromising that we talked about in Sunday school, that He created them male and female. I can't compromise that. He created distinct genders, and He created that way on purpose, and to deny that is to deny God as the Creator. I'm not compromising, not because I'm stubborn or because I'm hateful or because I'm angry, because I'd rather please God than to please man. Yeah. To be Laodicean It can creep up on you. You can kind of just go through the motions for a little bit and think, oh yeah, I'm gonna get back on it. I know I should be reading my Bible like I should. I shouldn't just gloss over it. Yeah, I know I should be at visitation. I should do that. I should be in tune with the service, but I got these things going on. It could even be times where pastor stands up here and says, are you ready for the services? And everybody says amen. That can even be something that you glaze over that. That he encourages you to be ready and you just glazed over being ready. Become Laodicean. Become lukewarm. Laodicea, like I said, Lord willing, I may pastor a church someday. But I can tell you, we're not going to be the Laodicean Baptist Church. That is not what my church will be. I'll get there and we'll change the name immediately. No. But Laodicea is not the name I'd want for my church. Just like Judas for our son, I haven't consulted my wife on this, but I'm pretty sure we don't want Judas for a son and we don't want Jezebel for a daughter. And I hope, as Christians, people don't look at us and think, man, they're kind of lukewarm. Man, they're here, but they're not here. They've got something else that's more important to them. They got somewhere else they'd rather be. They're apart, but they're just not quite. They're not cold. Don't get me wrong. They're not cold. They're not cold toward the things of God, but they're not hot. Well, there's only one option left, and that's lukewarm. I hope that no one could ever label me, and I hope that no one in here ever gets labeled as Laodicean. Folks, I hope we heed the warnings that God has given not to be Laodicean Christians. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to have a musical invitation this evening, but when God's word's preached, you always want an opportunity. Are you hot for God? Lukewarm's not okay. Lukewarm's not all right. Do you have any of these tendencies? Are you just satisfied right where you're at? Are you trying to get better? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message. I thank you for just these warnings. God, we can all have lukewarm tendencies and not try and be hot like you want us to be. And God, I pray that everyone in here would receive this message and apply it to their lives. And God, I pray that you'll continue to bless our church. I thank you that our church is not lukewarm. It's on fire. And the more people we have on fire, the more we can do for you. God, I pray you'd continue to bless us, bless Pastor and Mrs. Titt as they travel home. I pray all this in Jesus' name.